This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. All of you, each and every one of you, including myself, are shepherds, ara'i. And each and every one of you are responsible for those under your care, your flock. We all have a duty as teachers, as educators, as parents, as a boss, as an employer. And so we need to ensure that we are fulfilling our duty, first and foremost, يعني before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with this role of educating and teaching for a number of years. In my earlier years, I was teaching in gatherings like this one, where everybody is quiet. I don't have to say, hey, sit down. Hey, what's your name? I'm putting you on the smiley face. Or, hey, what's your name? You're going on the sad face. Or, be quiet. Leave him alone. Stop it. Don't do this. Why do you push him? For many, many years, this was the setting. It was all ease. Everybody was cooperative. I even was teaching privately. And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, again, I encountered no problems. I love teaching. It was just very, very rewarding and very fulfilling for me personally. And then subhanAllah, I entered into the school system. When I entered into the school system, I was in for a bit of a shock. Because I thought that I could apply all the things and the strategies and the techniques that I was doing outside of school in the classroom. But quickly, did I have to change that if I wanted to get, inshallah ta'ala, some responses and some results and keeping the attention of the children. So tonight, inshallah ta'ala, I plan on sharing with you some of my personal reflections and insights that I've gained by looking at inspirational teachers, by sharing with you the feedback that I actually received from students. I've taught from primary school right through to high school. And I've actually sat with the students and I've asked them this very question. What is it that makes a good teacher? What is it that you admire about the teacher that you love the most? So inshallah ta'ala, that's what I plan to disclose with you inshallah ta'ala. Now, when it comes to the area of learning and achieving the outcomes of learning, you can't just put all of the attention and all of the focus on the school, for example. Hey, I send my child to an Islamic school and they're going to take good care of my child. Well, guess what? Your child is also going to be probably exposed to some bad apples that are amongst those children. Okay? So when it comes to learning, it's a cooperation between the school itself, between the parent, as Sheikh Arshad rightly said, and between the student taking responsibility. These are three main areas that ensure a successful outcome. The school and the parents, the home environment, inshallah. And of course, then it comes to the community. The community is the third one. What experiences the students are receiving in the community. So this leads me to the next point, and that is, what is it that shapes us as individuals? Who are you today is a product of three main areas. Who you are today, you have been shaped, you have been influenced by three things. Number one, it is your environment. What environment did you grow up in? Did you grow up in an Islamic environment? Did you grow up in a very healthy environment, or is it a very toxic environment? What sort of suburb? Who are the people? Who are your neighbors? Your environment, your school. So environment is a big word, and we need to ensure that we have our children being in the right environment. I know, for example, growing up in this country, I had certain people that were close to me move away from the main Islamic environment into more environments that were not very Islamic, and they derailed, and today they are still derailed. So environment plays a massive role. And this is something that we need to factor in, okay, when it comes to our children, when it comes to the neighborhood, when it comes to the community. The second factor that contributes to who you are today are your influences. Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. Who are your influences? Who are your mentors? Who are the people that you look up to? That's very, very important to factor in. So your influences are very, very important, and they need to be positive influences, insha'Allah ta'ala. So, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made this very clear to us in the hadith, whereby if you spend time with a perfume seller, he's either going to sell you some perfume, give you some perfume. At the very least, you're going to walk out smelling very beautiful. Or you spend time with a blacksmith who's going to burn your clothes, or you're going to walk out of the blacksmith with a bad smell. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he set this, made this very, very clear in terms of the environment and in terms of the influences. The third one, and this is another very important player that shapes who we are today, are the experiences that we have had. And subhanAllah, these experiences that we have growing up really shape us. I know personally, growing up in this country, alhamdulillah, I was blessed in going to many Muslim camps. I was blessed by being placed under the instructions and under some of the best teachers that we had. So again, I say Jazakallahu khairan to my father, to my parents, to my teachers. And that is what really, really helps in shaping who your child will end up being, how they will end up being. So experiences are very, very important as well. What experiences they're having, whether it's camps, whether it's workshops, lectures, even travel, even, you know, allowing your child to really absorb, okay? Of course, within the constraints and of Islam. So this is something that I really wanted to bring about. Now, what I want to quickly share with you are just 10 factors to improved learning. 10 factors to improved learning. The first one that I noticed is very, very important when you are dealing with children, is you need to be assertive but not aggressive. SubhanAllah, there were many moments in my beginning of my teaching where you can just imagine young primary school teachers, young primary school students that would just drive a teacher crazy, not doing the right thing. And did I scream? You bet I did. I screamed from the top of my lungs. And they were even shocked that, hey, you know, he screams. You know? And subhanAllah, I realized over time, that doesn't work. You can't be aggressive with these kids. It's not going to change anything. So I had to change my methods and look at what is it that's going to work. So I learned, cutting a long story short, that you need to be assertive. That means be firm, give instructions, talk about the consequences, and stick to those consequences so they don't think that you're a person who doesn't follow up on what you say. Okay? Be assertive, inshallah ta'ala, and but don't be aggressive. And this reminds me of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Ma kana rifqu fi shay'in illa zana, wa ma nuzi'a min shay'in illa shana." Rifq means gentleness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever there is rifq, there is gentleness, it beautifies the situation. And whenever you remove this gentleness, meaning you're replacing it with aggressive behavior, okay, it actually disfigures it and makes the situation ugly. So this is something that I'd love to share with you, insha'Allah ta'ala. And let's look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that man, a Bedouin, came into the masjid, and he didn't have much knowledge, And he came and he urinated in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mosque, his masjid. And the Sahaba, you know, they got very angry and they wanted to get up and give him not only a piece of their mind, but a piece of their bodies. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stopped them. And then he began to talk to him and educate him and talk him through what he did was wrong and how these places, these are masajid, are places for prayer and for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, that student, that Bedouin, that person just did the wrong thing. He said, I love you. He said to him how much he loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, so much. And may Allah forgive him and nobody else. He thought that the rahmah of Allah is limited to certain individuals. He doesn't have the ilm. And he won over the heart through gentleness. So this is something that we also need to reflect upon when we read upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I notice works with students is the sandwich approach. The sandwich approach is when you start with a compliment. MashaAllah, jazakallah khair. I noticed that you're doing well here and you've achieved this and you've achieved that. But I want to now share with you something which I think is very important. Now the criticism comes in. Now the discipline comes in. And then you end it off on some gentleness as well. It does wonders. Even when you're criticizing anybody, start off with something pleasant, something good. Mention the criticism and then end off on a good note. That's what we want, insha'Allah ta'ala. And this is something that has been proven. So my first point is, be assertive and not aggressive. Number two, be creative. Be creative with children. Children get bored very quickly. You can give them the most exciting toy, what have you, the novelty will wear out very quickly. So human beings, they love variety. This is a basic human need. They love variety, and this is one of our basic human needs as humans. So we need to do things differently. Because if you're not creative and you continue to do the same thing over and over again, the same teaching method, then what's going to happen? You're going to get the same result. If you do what you've always been doing, you're going to get what you've always been getting. You're going to get, that's what the definition of insanity is this, as they say. Insanity is when you do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. How could you be doing the same thing over and over again, yet you're expecting a different outcome? Change your strategy. Change your way. Do things differently. So he didn't do it this way. There's no need to shout and yell and smack the person. Say, hey, okay, that didn't work. I need to now change my way, my tact, my strategy with that student, with that child. So this is something also that we need to be aware of. SubhanAllah, what I learned is there are students that actually have a disorder that is known as ADHD. It used to be known, I think, ADD. ADHD, which stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. There are some children that actually have this. Is it curable? According to the gurus and the scientists and the professionals, they say you cannot cure ADHD. But can you manage it? Yes, you can manage it. So do you even know if your student that you're teaching, whether you're a parent or a teacher, a scripture teacher, whoever you may be teaching, are you aware of the needs of your students? Communicating in their language. And you can read up about this. There are symptoms that students display that show that they have ADHD. So if you might find them, for example, they find it very difficult to pay attention. And you're always saying to them, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Why aren't you paying attention? You're putting them under tension. You're getting them in trouble. Well, guess what? This child has a disorder. They can't just pay attention. You've got to be stimulating their mind. You've got to be doing something creative. You've got to be doing something that really stimulates them, that will make them respond to you and work with you. So this is something that you might want to consider. These students that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of our children, they have difficulty staying focused. They might have listening problems, difficulty following instructions, problems with organization. They're constantly losing things, easily distracted, fidgeting always. These are some of the symptoms. And this is something that you can read about and find out about, insha'Allah ta'ala. The third factor is show interest in the interests of the children. Show interest in what they're interested in. And then that way you can give analogies. You can give analogies about whenever you're trying to teach something, they will listen more attentively. I gave a khutbah at school, and subhanAllah, I wanted to talk about the importance of, I think it was about the Sahaba, and loving the Sahaba, and knowing their names, and what have you. So what did I do in the khutbah? I found out that most of the students are into soccer. So I mentioned I've got no idea about soccer players. I'm very sorry to all you soccer player fans or what have you. And so what did I personally took it upon myself and went and typed in Google, top 10 soccer players in the world. And got their names down, written down, went to the khutbah. When I started throwing those names, they were looking at me like that. They were just staring at me. They were loving it. And then I picked up a few points about each player, and then I started to give analogies and what have you. And at the end of the khutbah, they go, "Sheikh, that was an amazing khutbah that you gave." So, you know, you're trying to make those connections with the things that they can, yani, that resonates with them. Very, very important. Talking their language. Yani, so this is another very, very important point. Showing interest. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a young boy who had lost his bird. His bird had died. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, "Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair?" He gave him a nickname, a pet name. He said, "Ya Aba Umair, oh father of Umair," is like a small Umair. "Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair? What happened to the Nughair? What happened to your bird?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking his language. He's finding out what is it that interests him. What is it? How can I? And then look, the ulama, I think Imam al-Shafi'i took like about 70 or 100 benefits out of just these few words. So this is one of the benefits that we can gain, that we talk the language of the child. What is it that interests them? And how can we keep them, yani, inshaAllah ta'ala, inspired? Which brings me to my next point, is be inspirational. Be inspirational. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani, when we look at how did he inspire his sahaba? Was it just talking about the hellfire and the punishment and death? But we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he combined between al-khawf and al-raja, between fear and between hope, giving them optimism, giving them hope, talking to them, giving them the benefits of what are the benefits of doing what they are doing. Well, I asked my students just before coming here today, and I said to them, I asked them about what inspiring teachers, and one of the common responses was, they were talking about a certain teacher. I said, "What do you like about that teacher?" They said, "Well, that teacher, they always tell us, they always tell us inspirational stories, success stories about people who have succeeded in their career and in this subject and where they are today." So the teacher actually spends a lot of time just inspiring them and making them feel really amazing and making them feel confident that they can do it. So if you only get through 10% of your workload when you're teaching a class and you've inspired them and you've maintained their attention, alhamdulillah. You don't have to get through 100%, because you can get 100%, you can go through 100% of the content and you've only got 10% outcome. Now, I'd rather go through 10% of the content and get 100% outcome. So this is something that you might want to factor in to your teaching. So there's a saying that says, "Tell me and I will forget. Show me and I will remember. Engage me and I will understand." One of the best ways to impart knowledge and to ensure that they understand it is not just telling them, but actually engaging with the students. Give and take, having some conversation with them. So this is something that we need to remember. There are three laws for inspiration and persuasiveness. You want to inspire somebody, you want to persuade them, remember these three rules. The first one, they said, is make it emotional. How many times do you remember a story or do you remember an incident because it moved you? Make it emotional. Make it move the hearts a bit. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do. When he gave them an admonishment one day, and the Sahaba and the Sahabi, he said that, you know, it made our eyes weep, our hearts quiver. And we thought that it was the admonishment of someone bidding us farewell. So the first one is to make it emotional. Number two, they said, make it novel. Make it something new. Something that they don't know. And number three, make it memorable. Meaning, do it in such a way that they will never forget that experience and that learning experience. So make it emotional, make it novel, and make it novel. Present the content in ways they will never forget. And that's how the Prophet ﷺ did it. When the Prophet ﷺ was teaching about the virtues of salah, encouraging us to pray, what analogy did he use in terms of how salat wipes away our sins? Who can tell me? The river. See how straight away it resonated with you. You remember the river. He conjured up this imagery of a river flowing at the footstep or at the doorstep of one of your houses. And he said, salat, and when you pray five times a day, it's like having a bath in this river. Are there going to be any remnants of your filth? What did the Sahaba say, huh? Engaging them. What did the Sahaba say? They said, no, Ya Rasulullah, there's going to be no more remnants of the filth or the dirt. Engaging them. And we see this with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking questions and eliciting responses from them. This is an excellent way to be interactive with your children and your students, inshallah ta'ala, using analogies. And there's many examples of this. And subhanAllah, even in today's age, you can use like actual examples. Like for example, you've probably heard of the frog analogy. If you put a frog in cold water, it'll stay there. If you put it in hot water, it'll jump out. If you put it in warm water and you allow the water to boil slowly, it will just die. And there's analogies given and lessons taken from that. Many that come to my mind, but we don't have time now to go through them. But analogies, giving examples that they can relate to, inshallah ta'ala. And again, sharing with them, especially when they fail. When they fail, they're going to be really down. And it's so important to share with them success stories. You know, for example, the inventor of the light globe, what's his name? Thomas Edison. I'm just practicing what I preach here. We're just engaging. Thomas Edison. Okay? SubhanAllah, sometimes you may know, you know, one of the scholars, he said, sometimes somebody would tell me a story or a hadith or something like this. He goes, I would listen to the whole story, even though I knew this story before that person was born. They had akhlaq, they had manners, they had adab. So when the student says to you, hey, can I share with you a story? Don't tell me, go, well, I know that story before you were even born. Yeah, you've killed him. You've killed his confidence. He's never going to, you think he's going to come back to you? So going back to Thomas Edison, he said when he was trying to, give us light, the light globe, he said, I had 10,000 attempts. It took him 10,000 times before he actually made it light up. He said, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I just learned there were 10,000 ways that just didn't work. It's just, it's the way you talk to the student. And yes, you're going to fail. And we've all had our failures. We all have our falls. So we need to allow the child to grow and learn from these failures, inshallah ta'ala. So very quickly, subhanAllah, there's so much I wanted to share. I'm going to go quickly to my fifth point. Get yourself and your student out of the comfort zone. We're too comfortable. Or we allow our child to be too comfortable. Success begins at the perimeter of our comfort zone. As soon as you're prepared to get out of your comfort zone, that's when you're going to see the success, inshallah ta'ala. And that, we need to be understand that there's going to be pain, yes. There's going to be pain in educating, and there's going to be pain on the part of the student in the short term, but that short term pain is to avoid long term pain. And the pain of discipline, it weighs grams when you compare it to the pain of regret. You're going through pain right now as a parent, right? But that's nothing compared to the pain that you're going to go through when your child is on the street. When your child says, I don't like this whole Islam business. You need to make sacrifice for your children, or else you will be crying. And then when you cry and shed those tears, it's too late. You can't phone up the sheikh and expect him to take out some magic hadith or some sort of halal magic and make it happen. It doesn't work that way. So this is something that we need to keep in mind. We need to teach our children in ways to also make them independent. And there's a saying that I've asked my students about this saying. They love it. And that you all know this. Give man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. You need to teach them how to do things. Inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah. Number 6, empower their belief system. Remove their limiting beliefs. They're young. And they've probably got limiting beliefs that don't allow them to move forward. So empower their belief. When a student feels hopeless, they'll most likely not end up with the desired results. And when they don't end up with a desired result and they have a weak belief system, that reinforces that belief system. So now their belief system becomes even weaker because they're seeing the negative result. So be very, very careful not to be putting that child down because they've already got a negative belief. So this is something that we need to do, inshallah ta'ala. Give credit to children, but again, when they do something right, give them the credit as well. But don't overdo it. Some they go overboard in the credit. They don't leave any room for improvement. They think they're doing a fantastic job. That's something that you need to be mindful of, inshallah ta'ala. Number 7, make sure that your child or your student is emotionally fit. You know, we talk about being physically fit. We need to be emotionally fit. I counsel a lot of students. They come to me and they're in tears. And they have a lot of insecurity and a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety. Do you think that that child is going to learn? Do you think that that child is going to focus in their salah? They're not. So what you have to do is remove that, make them emotionally fit. Give them that certainty that they're looking for, inshallah ta'ala. And that will help them with their learning, inshallah ta'ala. And the point number 8 is be conscious and mindful of yourself when interacting with your students. Yourself. What mood are you in? And how is your approach? There is a clinical psychologist. He's also a child therapist and a parent educator. He's worked with children, parents, teachers. His name is Haim Ginot. He described the classroom teacher's position in terms of their importance and influence in the lives of children. This is what he said. He said, I've come to the frightening conclusion that I am the decisive element in the classroom. It's my personal approach that creates the climate. It's my daily mood that makes the weather. As a teacher, I possess a tremendous power to make a child's life miserable or joyous. I can be a tool of torture or an instrument of inspiration. I can humiliate or humor, hurt or heal. In all situations, it is my response that decides whether a crisis will be escalated or de-escalated and a child humanized or dehumanized. Number 9, teach through your actions. And that's what Sheikh Arshad, Barakallahu Fi, emphasized on, and I reiterate that. Teach through your actions. Your actions, they speak louder than your words. And I highly recommend to empower your wife. Empower your mother. Your mother, al-ummu madrasatun idha a'dattaha, a'dattaha shaban tayyib al-araqi. The mother is a school, is an institute. If you prepare her well, you prepare generations with strong foundations. You're out trying to make your millions. You're out with the hanging out. As a male, doing your thing, you're hunting, you're earning a living for the family. Who's spending most of the time with the children? The mother is. وَفَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. You cannot give what you haven't got. So you, and in a recent study that I came across, they were talking about, is it the private school that's better than a public school system for the children? And the answer that came back in response to private versus public was that one of the main contributors was the background of the parents. How are you as a parent? How educated are you, etc.? But that's another study altogether. So inshallah ta'ala, let us Be very mindful of this. And don't allow the media and social media fear-mongering prevent you from sending your children to institutes, to the masajid. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. I had a parent in front of me recently. They said they don't send their children to a mosque for lessons out of fear that they may be brainwashed. And I said, well, then how else are they going to get their deen? And they don't live in a Muslim community. They live in a very isolated community. There is just mainly, you know, one masjid. I said to them, have you even sat with the institute? Have you even sat with the scholars? Have you sat with their teachers and asked them all the questions that you have? We're quickly to jump the gun and make these conclusions about Islamic centers or individuals or masajid. And last but not least, and again, it's reiterating what Sheikh Arshad, he said, dua for your children. And one specific dua that comes to my mind, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That you actually make this dua, our Lord, grant us from among our wives and offspring comfort to our eyes. So when you look at your child, you say, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. Ya Allah, make this child the apple of my eye. Make him the delight of my eye. And he will become the delight of your eye when you see him praying, when you see him reading Quran, when you see him doing the right thing. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا.